He has been.
You just said that God is love, and love will take one to the heart center. That's in the heart, to the heart center. And yet the science of the soul begins at the sixth ganglion, and there's still a center in between. How will that be reconciled?
I tell you, you know, the world sometimes misleads us. Soul is love personified. God is love, and soul is also love. Speak of the same sense of God. The heart of the physical body lies here. The heart of the saints lies here. That heart, when they say, it is a question of heart and not head. They make a difference there. Head means intellect, not head means intellect. And the heart means in our own self. That is lying in our own soul, love. Love not any particular part of the body. This is machinery that might react to there. That's only some little lot of flesh, heart, what is this? That is left behind. When that is left behind, you then that should emit love, does it? When man is dead, soul leaves the body, is there any love in the heart left? I don't know. So love is in our souls, you see. And the seat of the soul is left behind. From there it enlivens the whole body.
The heart center would be in the ganglion.
Yes, yes.
Then there's another in between.
Yes, yes, you understand. There are six ganglions in the body, but master don't touch them. They just give you a lift, come up here, all at once. They start from there. How great concession it is. Yes, please.
To speak of wrong practices, wrong yoga practices leading the forces downward on the spine into the area of congenital. Could you expand on that a little bit?
I tell you, there are ways and ways. There are man-made ways and there are God-made ways. Times have changed. There are so many systems of yogas. These yoga systems were introduced in the old ages. There are four ages. Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, and the Iron Age. In the Golden Age, they say, these were introduced in the, when they were Golden Age, they were. Then the people lived up to 1,000,000 years. It is said so in the scriptures, in the scriptures. And there are instances to show what that there is one single kid. He put in 88,000 in the yoga practice. 88,000. And excuse me, I need that point out, but I have given in the scriptures, he was led away by some and gave had a son. See, even after doing 88,000 years of practice in that way, he could not control that. See? So we fall everywhere, but only by the way. And then in the second day, it was cut down to 10,000. Even then we could have put some thousand here, 2,000, 3,000. In the copper age, the age was cut down to 1,000. Even then we could have put it to 300 years, that way. Nowadays, nobody knows we are 60 years average. How can we those systems introduce in the old ages? We can do today. We are heretic of it. Though the longer ways, time-consuming, hazardous, the masters introduce, cut down the prana system altogether to befit the times. And this is the natural yoga that you are giving. It is only to be still, physically, intellectually, little different you know yourself. You have the same as that of God. This is confession, according to the times. Masters introduced. So we do that to all those. There are ways. But there are difficult ways. We are not fit. One man, that means now you are referred to the Kundalini question. That is, you see, the Kundalini arises from the rectum, you see. And thus passes through the spinal cord, comes from the head. Well, that is a very longer way. and that fire burns, the whole body appears to be burning from head down to foot. There is no remedy for it. Only very strong men could fight it and suffer, withstand it. One man met me in India, in then, about 3 years back. He was doing Kundalini and he was just all burning from head down to foot. That Kundalini power awakened. And he came to me and said, well, I am in this very much trouble, I can and do. I have been to hundreds of people, nobody can help me. I told him to leave that. Your purpose is to come up here. Why not come with me straight away, in natural way? So I gave him a sitting. He was initiated, all trouble was known. You see, why to take up the longer way? If you got aeroplanes nowadays, why you go on a flooding airport? Times are changing. There are ways, of course. They want that way, but we are not fit, honestly. Without any immigration. Today, 3 children said, they saw light and they saw, they heard the sound of bell and thunder in the bay. That will be kind of prove it. This can be proved. And the yogis, I tell you, those following, they cannot prove spirituality all at once. They say, go and do it, it will come in you. Now you see, everybody can prove it. She is for his own self, you see, within half an hour or so. So this is the latest, I believe, concession of God for those who are really seeking after it, to be 58, that's all. Yes?
Is the lifespan of an individual determined at birth?
Yes.
Nothing one can do about, will either shorten it or lengthen it?
Yes, he can shorten it, he can prolong it, but that is definitely ordained. All was to say, you guys said that days are numbered. Our age is fixed not according to the number of years or months or days, mind that. That is fixed according to the number of breaths we take. Is it? The right use of breaths can prolong our life, and wrong use of breaths can shorten our life. Normally we take 8 to 10 breaths in a minute. If we are passionate, we take 18 to 20 breaths in a minute. Isn't that shortened? If you've got rhythmic life, you take 3 to 4 breaths in a minute. That prolongs. And if you kumuk means that learn to control the breathing inside, I have people who could control even for 2 hours. I met people who just put on the ground for 7 days. That your life is prolonged. But Master don't advise to take up that way, because you have to dwell spiritually. By following that way, you do not, that can show miracles to others. But really, your inner life should change. You must come in contact with the light in some principle. Your life can be prolonged, shortened, but not beyond the number of lives you have to take. Yes.
And leaving the body, this is...
That one?
They're leaving the body, for instance, when the spirit leaves the body, what would be considered, might be considered the escape hatch?
I don't follow what you mean.
No, when one escapes from the sun or something, they have an escape hatch for one to leave. And where do you leave it?
Do you know how to leave the body or what you mean?
Where? On what point would the spirit leave the body?
What place? Well, that's the life. Have you seen men dying?
No.
Yeah, what happens? The life will be down from underneath, goes up slowly, then comes to the back of the eye, eyes are upward. Then the dorsal comes. The seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes. You see? Then the dorsal comes. That is when Master says, learn to die so that you may begin to live. That is, wherever, to whatever point in the body you go at the time of death, you go at the final life. So when the meditation given, you come up here, isn't it? And here the soul leaves the body. Yes? Yes?
May when you leave the body, do the heart stop and everything?
No. Heart stops only when you control the prana, vital air. In this heart works. Nothing is disturbed. Heart stops only in those cases who are put underground, who control the pranas. Not to be. That becomes really, really becomes really big, of course. Where did you come? Yes.
Is it not actually the diaphragm that is the last to stop beating? The diaphragm is the last thing to stop beating.
Yes, surely.
The heart goes first and the diaphragm is last because the breathing act starts.
Slowly breathing goes out, stops. Because long breaths, then hold it slowly. Machine, when the, you see, even machinery stops, engine stops, the slow portion goes on slowly. Yes.
The question here, Maharaj, in the
mind. Yes, please.
Could you please give us some lesson on how we might be more loving, how we might practice the values, how we might
love more? No. I think they don't need us giving any lecture, but you don't know how to love. But we are not understood the right way of love. That is misused, I would say.
Yes.
Love is ingrained in our own selves. God is love. And love is also ingrained in us because we are of the same essence as that of God. So love knows attachment. That's a birth nature. You must have somebody to be attached. Maybe right, maybe wrong. So that very love, we are spirit. The love of the spirit of the conscious being should be love with the all spirit. Okay. That natural love which is within us, that is attached to the outward thing, to the body, to the passion, to the enjoyment. Those are not conscious. But the more you do, the more you are just attached to that thing, you feel drawn. That is but natural. But that love has been what? Misplaced. The very love, when it is attached to the body and outward enjoyments, that is called attachment. And the very love, when just it comes in contact with God, is called charity. It's the same thing. Misdirected. Misdirected love is called attachment, and rightly directed is called charity. And this question was put to one of the room, Mohammed is saying. He said, don't you think this is love which is just developed by our eating and drinking? That is called lust. It is the quality of the soul. It overflows with love if it be drawn from the outside. Our soul, the outer expression of that is what? Attention. So wherever attention is diffused in so many ways, our love is distributed. If that is withdrawn with our own, that will overflow. And if it comes in contact with all consciousness, that will be mouthpiece of God. And they say it in, I will define who is overflowing with love for God and for all humanity. It is not lust, mind that. That love is attached to the body and outward going faculties, and that stands in the way of realization, mind that. If love starts from the physical body and evolves in the soul, that is right. You can go on. But if it just attaches to the body and the outer attachment, that is standing in the way. That very thing is called lust. So if you want to develop love, it's just to withdraw attention from outside. Just come within your own self. You'll be overflowing with love. you come with an own self, then you see the controlling power, which is all love, and you will be overflowing with love. This love cannot be purchased from the shops over there. It is not grown in the fields. It is already within you. There is one way to have it. I mean, impetus that in those who have life of love, not lust mindedness, of love, says in their company our love is just awakened, flared up. This question was put to Guru Amar Das. He says, thousands of questions we on the man who has got the man body and not dwelt love for God. And thousands of questions on that man who is just attached to the outside world and has forgotten himself is God. And he says, what to do, where to get this love? Because without love, that's all Master says, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So, we have to love God, you see. But, you see, how to have it? First thing is by withdrawing outside. And just coming in company of somebody who is love personified, who is overflowing with love for God, for all humanity, for the sake of God, not for the sake of the physical body that you are carrying, whether they are black or white, you see, for the sake of the soul in him, that love, if you have got, you see, that will be flared out when you come across some, in the company of somebody where that love is overflowing. That is called faith. There that is flared up, you see. When that, what happens? When you, that love is there, all your attention will drop from outside. Effect is there. The glory of God and the beauty of God is centered there. That attracts every soul. When that soul is withdrawn, attention is also withdrawn from outside. He just gets a flaring up. Principle works the same way. By withdrawing your attention from outside, first you have to make an effort. In this way you are drawn up yourself. When you come with you, love is there. Yes?
Do you have in India, in Delhi, India, do you have a protege under your tutorship to carry on when you leave the physical plane?
Do you have a successor that you're schooling now?
Yes, there are in school so many. Let us see who the God selects. Truly speaking, it is mind that even in the master, it is the God working in him, you see. That will come out of itself when God will see it, you see. I wish each one of you should be selected. But you come up to the mark. I wish each one of you should be ambassadors. Yeah. I told you what happened. Last even, I came in 1955, there were two children. I didn't make children sit. And they have just got some light, etc. I asked them, what do you want? They said, we want to become masters. Mm-hmm. All right, you have been put on the way. Go on with it, you may be selected as a master. It is not a selection for the people below that you select a president or a minister and this and that. It is a selection from God, you know.
One of the mimeograph releases through the years, it was said that in one of the mimeograph releases through the years, it was said that Guru Nanak prophecy, there would be 14 gurus of the Sikhs and then 70 lesser gurus after that.
What I need to do is you mind your own business. The same thing will come up, you see, when Christ determines. God, you know, he cannot let alone his children, you see, who are seeking their food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Yes?
The question here, this lady has.
Two, yes, I see.
How I wondered what set of breathing, what system of breathing we could all use that would help us.
Natural. When time born, when time of what part of breathing is? We, the start of breathing, I tell you all that. Children, take a deep breath. There. Then is first form and then the lungs. And our lungs are full first and the belly. That's wrong way. Your voice, then it's a tangle, little tangle. It takes breathing first to that. Stomach is blocked, you see. Then upper portion, then stomach like
abdomen.
And abdomen. Now what we do? We, our lungs are first of all, then the belly. And the breathing doesn't go into the belly, abdomen. That's a natural way. Yes, please.
These releases, can we send them to people that we think might be interested but know nothing of this?
What releases? Which?
The releases that we
get.
Oh, yes, send to anywhere to all you talk about, you see. I have not reserved rights. Even in the books, I have not given any reserved rights. People write a little pamphlet, they say, all rights are reserved. Even on the book, you'll find no rights are reserved. Rights is a gift from God for all humanity. You'll find very unnatural. It's the ordinary people, you see. Because they want to earn a reserve some rights. Well, this is a gift from God. If I have got anything, that is God, and God gives it to you to all. We must stand on our own learning. And to just selling the gifts of God, is it not like that? Guru Nanak says it is a heinous crime to sell the gifts of God. They must be given free. What we are doing, you see, any master will come up, he will look up from that very angle. In my book, you will nowhere find racism. You'll find, of course, the rights of the book are not reserved for them to all humanity. Humanity, I think many hundreds of copies you make, send out to the people at last. That's what I mean.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Are there any rights reserved on the Bible? I think they have got it now. Singer for the other scriptures too, they have the rights now, not before. Yes?
Can you explain the principle and the importance of Simran?
Well, this is very clear, isn't it? Whom you remember? Whom you now don't you remember it? What is remembrance? It is a symbol of love with somebody. Your love for somebody, all the same you are remembering it. May not be in your mouth, but in your heart. And who want to love, remember it constantly, that is your love, that's all. Why we do simana, remembrance, the first step, in this way? Because, you know, through the various outgoing faculties, the impressions of the outside world have been just heaped up in us. To overflowing capacity. Our subconscious as a wire of mind is overflowing with the worldly impressions. Those impressions came by the remembrance of the outward thing. They want to deplete that and then fill it with the sweet remembrance of God. You see? So much so that in dreams you have the same thing. So much so even you go to very deep state of sleep, even then those words may be reverberated to your mouth. Such like remembrances, that you first time. To deplete the subconscious reservoir of your mind, which is already overflowing with the impressions and the remembrances of the world. That you first time. Then the next step is, this is truly speaking the purity of heart. When there is nothing else other than love of God or remembrance of God is there, that is too pure. Such a heart is required for somebody to come. So that's the first step, you think, for the sake of taking up the way in the future. They say love God is enough. How? Without thy heart, without thy soul, without thy mind, without thy strength, the loving God is what you think. You remember? Whom you love, naturally remembrance is there. Whom you want to now just keep him in your mind, and that will react in his mind. This is but natural. That is what Christ meant when he said, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. First part is very clear, but how you can abide in it? Whom you remember, that is that reaction there. That reaction, you see, you want to abide in him, it is only how to do it, remembering it. When you remember him, you think of him. As you think of him, you become what he is. As you think so, you become. So this is where, how can you abide in me? Then he said, then whatever ye shall ask, you will have it. This is first step, you see. This is the principle of with this. Semunda, repetition, or the sweet remembrance, call by any name you like, that's the first step. Why you think, so you become. Yes?
Alan has a question.
One at a time, please.
We seem to have difficulty in learning to love our enemies, or those with whom we do not agree. That's my biggest problem, learning to love.
That is everybody's biggest problem, but the point is, if we know that we have got the same soul which is misdirected by mind under some impressions, then we have got the same soul simply misdirected. If we have realized that thing, then only you can love the enemy. For the time being, sometimes you have to say something to somebody. In the tenth guru of the Sikh, there was some aggression. Another party had to stand in the show to save the innocent people. And he, at that time, this fight was only made with the arrows and the, like that. So what did he do? That he, on the arrows on the front side, he put one gold. If anybody is hurt by that, he can remedy it. By arrows, man is not killed all at once. That only becomes wounded. So he put some metal, I mean gold, in the front of the arrow which could go and teach us, you see, and inflict on us. So that if he's wounded, he should have some money to help him, you see. This is what is called the enemy.
This is
Calhoun. Yes, please.
Master, in the meetings, there are times when they've come to Walter about that they take an oath of poverty and they feel that it's wrong to have a lot of things. And we were going to ask you about it, how to handle a situation.
He said at the meeting, many people come and say they take an oath of poverty. They don't want to have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so that's the question to come. How much poverty should one have?
I know that is a good question. The world is full of hypocrites. You have to guard against that. You see? The point is, you see, we are only to live on two loaves of bread and one loaf of bread. Our own expenditure is not worth this here a dollar or two a day. If we live simple life. All others, what we earn this is for the children, are the friends, are the other people. If we hold millions, they are left behind. We simply use what we grow or what we eat. So all masters say, or by hard data, brow, you see, by data, hard labor, honest, then you know your own self and share with others.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the second half of a recording made on December 18th, 1963, and was named No New Faith, Mind That. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. I'm going to read excerpts from Change Your Habits Now. It's a talk that was originally published in Satsang Desh, February 1971. And it is chapter 10 in The Night is a Jungle. So your purpose in coming to Satsang is to imbibe the love of God, to sit in His sweet remembrance, to unite with Him. All things past and future, all irrelevant matters can be dealt with in your own place of residence. Come, but come with the very best of intentions. Bring the remembrance of the Lord with you, and take it with you when you leave. Do not listen to others' conversations, and do not talk to anyone unless it be about the truth. You will thereby gain full benefit from satsang. Otherwise, the years will pass by without any real advancement. How to attend satsang? When you leave home for satsang, forget all worldly matters and go in sweet remembrance of the Master. And so long as you attend the satsang, you should not think of anything else except the Master and God. If your body is in the Master's company, but your mind is elsewhere, Kabir says, how can you color an unbleached cloth? Even though you may not understand all that is said, yet if you sit with full attention, you will profit by it. If your thoughts are somewhere else, not only will you lose, but other people will also be affected by the impure atmosphere you are creating, for thoughts are living and possess great power. Regard the satsang as a place of purity. Do not talk or think of anything but God, and whosoever attends will be blessed by the uplifting atmosphere. We do not go to satsang to meet our friends or to socialize. The Master unites us in a true relationship which can never be broken. This relationship is with God Himself, who is manifested in the human form. It is such a relationship that can never be sundered even after death, not to speak of during life. But we, with our poor understanding, assert ourselves with pride, ego, and low habits, desiring to be recognized. Consequently, we succeed only in heaping more misery upon our heads. What is the use of attending satsang for so long if you are not going to change the old unwanted habits? Dry land can become green again by giving it water. But of what use is land that is watered yet remains dead? Your attendance has become a mere routine. You cannot get salvation by rote. You will not get it. You will not get it. Try to understand what the spiritual path means, and then live up to it. And the more it seeps into your heart, the happier you will be. Let the words of the Guru abide in your heart, and you abide in Him. This is the only way, the only hope. If you do not obey Him, what can be done? For so many years I have pleaded with you. That which you receive here, you will not find anywhere else. But with all that you receive, yet you continue in your old ways of enmity, avarice, jealousy, etc. You do not keep your spiritual diaries. Whose fault is it that you are not progressing? Stop being childish and grow up. Those who do not wish to listen and obey should not enter upon this venture of the spiritual path. I am not saying any new thing. We are not all saints. We have come here to become that, and you will become that if fully understand and then live up to the teaching. If these teachings are no new thing, then try to fully understand them now and take them into your lives. If we could learn to obey and keep the diary, we would become gods and goddesses. Do not discuss or wrangle intellectually over the subject, but think carefully. Have you not come here to keep the company of truth? Then why keep the company of others? This disease has ever been in evidence and will continue, but the masters come to prescribe the cure by making us realize the truth. In Swamiji's Shabd, he laments over the situation. Many days of attendance at satsang have passed. Now give up your old habits. O man, it is the time now to discard your old, disreputable habits and adopt new ones. Habits are formed by repeatedly doing the same things, so we should first unravel all bad actions, lies, hypocrisy, cheating, criticism of others, enmity, avarice, malice, backbiting, and various others. If you do not intend to change these ways, what is the use of attending satsang? Your steps are forward, but your mind is retrogressing. Satsang is the means of making us into something beautiful, but not by merely repeating God's name. Change your habits now into good ones, for habits turn into nature with time. Cast away all negative thoughts and instill positive ones in their place. If a person does wrong, forgive him, and he in turn should forgive your misdeeds. In the Quran, it is written, even God has no thought for him who has no inclination to change. How can we expect other people to show excellent examples? If we ourselves would change, the whole world would change with us. It is a message for all. One of the worst habits is that of criticizing others. All virtues exercised in righteous living are good, but that of ahimsa parmo dharam, non-violence of thought, is the highest. It can become a daily habit, for it lies inherent within us all. And although other thoughts are there, yet consciously or unconsciously, it is working and will rise to the surface one day. That is why you are frequently told in satsang that past is past, forgive and forget, and do not make a foundation of bad thoughts, or there will undoubtedly be reactions. You will be the loser, for again you will revolve on the cycle of births and deaths. So, with love, the masters encourage their children to change their habits while there is still time. With great compassion for humanity, Swamiji is telling us, for how long will you try to deceive your guru? Now recognize what he is. Hiding the true facts, you think, what does the guru know? What we want to do is correct. You get hold of an idea and place it above all else, considering everyone else to be wrong, even if your guru tells you something different. How long will you keep this up? Make no mistake, he watches our every action, for the guru power is residing within our very being. But we foolishly think that he is not present to see us, so we can do anything and he will not know. He entreats us to try and realize what a guru is. The guru is not the physical form. He is not the human pole, but is the all-omnipotent power of God, which has manifested therein. It is accepted that God is everywhere and sees everything. Give full attention to learn what the guru is, and then come to know it. He has love for everyone, for his own, for all others, even for those who are against him. His wish is to do good to all, and even though a knife were put to his neck, he would not think ill of the wrongdoers. He is different, and expresses this wealth of love and forgiveness because of the guru power in him. So he says we should stop all this deceit, and if one thinks of one's guru as a guru, then obey him. After all, he does not give bad advice. Try to recognize your guru, for satsang is concerned with the guru, not with a mere human being. When you go to satsang, go in his remembrance, for he is God in human form. Be present there in his remembrance, and when you leave, take that remembrance with you. We should exploit those qualities which will assist us to join back to God and discard all traits which are liable to lead you away from him. It is not difficult to realize the Lord, but it is most difficult to become a man, a true human being. 100 times and more we bow our heads and say, yes, yes, I will do it, but in action we do just as we please. This indicates that as yet we do not truly understand the spiritual path. If you have not as yet changed your old habits, then do so at once. Make a start now. To have bad thoughts for others, to take sides in enmity like a lawyer criticizing the lives of your fellow beings, would you not expect the fire to flare up within you? The guru sees all events with a different eye, for every man sees from his own level. If you have accepted someone as being superior to you, then obey him. A teacher who has not reached the higher level can easily be the cause of further downfall. Those from higher levels always strive to reunite all humanity. You came to the satsang to realize the truth, to be free from your miseries. To fulfill this, whatever you learn must be adopted and reflected in your homes and daily living, that peace and happiness may blossom forth in you and in those who surround you. The satsang is a place of special purity, and even your thoughts should be pure as long as you are here. No other thought save that of the Lord should enter your head, and whatever advice you hear, live up to it. If you obey without exception, you will change for the better. If not, you will suffer the consequences. Guru is not just a man, and whoever looks upon him from that angle of vision is gravely mistaken. Kabir says, he who considers the guru a mere man will retrogress in the lower species, birth after birth. The God in him is the guru, though we respect his physical form because he is manifesting therein. Whatever he tells us, whether it appears to be correct or not, should be of the utmost importance and interest to us. Otherwise, and with emphasis, I repeat, that life will become complicated and nothing but misery will result. You can say that it is actually preparing the way for unhappiness. We attend satsang to increase our joy, for those around us too. And when the soul is reunited with God, it will reflect all his qualities. God in the Guru is all compassion, and without disclosing our sins, he washes us clean, free from undesirable impurities. When the child becomes dirty with filth, the mother does not throw him away, but washes him with loving attention and draws him close to her breast. The soul of man is very dear and precious, so we loathe the sin, but rather love the sinner. If all men refrained from wrongdoing, there would be peace and happiness everywhere. If your aim is to become masters, you will succeed only when you hear and then become that. Do not think of the guru as a man. He is the life of the Sat Purush. True form. The question, who is a guru, is not a new one. It has ever been asked through the ages. When it was put to Guru Nanak, he said, Shabd is the Guru, and the Shurat is the disciple. The ever-existent God, or his expression, the Shabd, is the Guru, and the attention is the disciple. When Kabir was asked the same question, he said, My Guru is above the Gagan, heaven, and the disciple is in the body. When our attention gets connected with him, our coming and going is finished. The greatest being ever born, he, you should know, is my Guru. He is the light itself, at whichever pole he is manifested, and only he can give the light to others. By this, the seeker can recognize the criterion in the true Guru. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. At whichever pole this wealth is found, you can be sure there is something else there too, worthy of your obedience. He has not come for any particular person, but loves everyone, and will wash anyone clean regardless of their condition. Those who are wise enough to obey him will find their progress flourishing. Satguru's words, words are the Satguru. The words he utters are he himself, and those who bow down to his words will truly get salvation. But those who bow in hypocrisy and then do whatever they choose with the thought that the Guru does not know, make their lives miserable. That which is hidden in us is apparent in the Guru, and wherever you find it blossoming forth in fullness, there you will get the experience. Anyone can talk on any subject, for and against, with a little training, but when a person receives something, there is no question of doubt. The power in the Guru, the very life of the Sat Purush, is forever and will never die. When it worked through the pole named Jesus, they called it the Christ power, and it works at various human poles according to the age. Whoever is fortunate to be connected to this power will find that it never leaves them. Somehow or other, make your mind understand, then put all your attention in him. Making the mind understand is difficult, for it tries to convince us that we are wrong in our search, but we must assure it that, having got the connection from where God is manifested, there is no need for doubts. Lectures, stories, bookish knowledge, acting, and posing can all be found in profusion, but who can give the light? If someone can reveal the light in the seeker, it is proof that he has got it. Having received from him, then obey him. If the mind dislikes obedience, then we must make it agreeable. When you frequently witness others receiving the light, is this not proof enough? There would perhaps be cause for hesitation if you were told to fight or kill each other, but the Guru himself thinks good of even those who work against him. By acquiring such noble virtues, we also will become masters. Iqbal says that when Hazrat Musa, Moses, climbed the mountain to talk to God and to realize him, did he not know that God himself was in search of a man who desired only him? Baba Jamal Singh left Punjab and went to search for Hazur in the Mari Hills. Was there not any man in the whole of Punjab that was suitable? What I am stressing here is that you have to obey his commands. Through love and mercy he speaks. He is complete and nameless. He creates love, for he is all love. He teaches how to love. The rays of love issue forth from him wherever he goes. His words are uttered to increase the love within us, so obey him and change the old habits which have encrusted for life upon life. If you do not, then you will continue in the wheel of birth and death. If through obedience to the Master, a love for God is created in us, and we see him in all beings, then where is the necessity to return to this earth? When his words are forgotten, then squabbling among ourselves increases. If you hurt someone or bring unhappiness into their life, their natural reaction will be to return the same treatment. Karmic reactions are a very powerful law, and you will be ruled by that law. With so much love, Swamiji makes us realize that our character must change. Masters are the very reflection of love, for the positive power works through love only. It can be observed that saints work only with love, but avatars also give punishment. The latter come when righteousness is at an ebb, to punish the wicked and reward the innocent, and to keep the world conditions in proper balance. The saints tell us to err no more. They at once give connection with God to whoever approaches them. Though the Lord is already within us, yet they make it possible for him to appear, that we may see him. To give salvation to you, somehow or other, he took this physical form, the Guru. It naturally follows that man's teacher must be a man. If a monkey screeches, hundreds of monkeys will gather around him in answer to his call. Even if a bird twitters, others will collect. So the Guru comes in the human form to teach man the correct understanding of truth. Excuse me, but the past masters cannot come here and give this knowledge. Some intimation may be grasped from the scriptures, but those who have left the scene cannot give guidance as to their correct import. Even if a voice came from the skies to direct us, mankind would merely remark, "What has it to do with us?" On the other hand, if a man's guru is a renouncer of worldly things, the disciple has doubt that his master can understand his mundane troubles, for he feels that the only one who has himself experienced the worldly ups and downs can really appreciate his condition. A true master has achieved success in both the worldly and spiritual fields of life, and is thereby a living proof of what can be accomplished. One's principles in life are highly important, and one should never fall below one's supreme principle, and that is, the highest principle is truth itself. And if you have love for truth, then you must have love for all life. Soothe and erase away the mistakes of others with your love. Blood stains cannot be washed with blood, but anything can be cleansed with the water of love. Give service unto him and worship him. Think of him as Guru Nanak. He was Kabir, he was Satnam. Recognize all saints in him. Develop into one who can serve the Master. What kind of service? True service means to obey his instructions implicitly. To live as he advocates in a clean, chaste, simple, and loving manner. To develop the truth in yourself. To purify thought. God dwells in every being, so love all life. Is this not what he teaches? You have got the human form through great good fortune, so make the best use of it and take advantage of every aid to reunite you with the Lord. Everyone makes mistakes, for all are not saints as yet, but they should not be repeated. The same God power worked through Kabir, Guru Nanak, and others at different times, just as a fused bulb is replaced by another. The teachings, however, remain the same. You will remember that when they brought before Jesus the woman who had been found committing adultery, they asked him what she should be stoned according to the law of Moses. But Jesus told them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her." Can you put your hand on your heart and honestly say that you have never hurt anyone? Hazrat Muhammad Sahib says, "If you can control the two organs, one between the lips and the other between the thighs, then I will stand before God in your support." Jesus told the woman to go and sin no more. With love, he forgave her and helped her to understand. After all, it was his work to make her into something. Guru power never dies. It is everlasting and continues forever. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. These are the words of Christ and not of Jesus, for they were uttered by the Christ power or Guru power in him. The whole world is a house in which the truth is residing. Those who attend satsang, in particular those who have got a true master, should set an example in their love for one another and their forgiving attitude. Christ also said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." Otherwise, where is the proof that you are on the spiritual path? The teachings are not bad. The satsang is not bad. He who teaches is not bad. If anything is bad, it is the mind. So make your mind understand correctly, and everything will be set right. It is the only cure if you want advancement. If we have helped even one person by removing a little misery from his day, we have done a great service. With sweet words, with kind sympathy, share the unhappy burden resting upon our poor fellow beings, or it spreads and grows as the days go by. From a man it travels to his family, his friends, and so on. Only he can achieve your aim. Do not wander. Be rid of your pride. What is our work in this world? To meet God, and for that we must first have the right understanding. Our true friend is he who removes wrong understanding. We have not come here to be property owners, socialites, or to have lofty ideas about ourselves, or to breed animosity among each other. We have come to imbibe the correct understanding about life. But sadly, we daily sow more seeds, and only we will reap the harvest thereof. And each type of seed will bear its own fruit. If you have sown enmity, then try to smooth it out. Do your best to wash it away with love, that it may not grow with time and take deep roots. You came to the world to receive, and you got God's name in the Master's home. Now give up your pride and control your mind. We say that we are very important people. We are very intellectual. We give excellent lectures. We have great influence over others, etc. But we should leave all this and take up the practice of truth alone. Then only will the true happiness and joy well up from within us. We have come here to realize God, and only God can help us do so. Who else is capable? Do your work and do not entangle yourself in other affairs. Think deeply, and if you find anything undesirable in you, weed it out and with love help others to overcome their shortcomings also. If you lose this golden opportunity, you will have no idea when you will be given another. Give up pride, cunning, and other worldly habits, and cease wandering in vain from one attraction to another. You will never get another guru like you have got. Whoever you meet will attempt to separate you from the Lord rather than rejoin you back to him. know a Satguru as one who comes to reunite. He wishes to bring all children of God together and sit among them. Such personages are rare, and if you have found one, then obey him. Do whatever he says. That which has to be developed is the inner man. If the guru is true, and I have told you how to discover this, then stick to him, listen to his words, and do your best to understand. You will make the grade if you ignore your mind. The mind may stand in between, but the soul knows what the guru is and what God is. And that will conclude the reading from Change Your Habits Now. It was excerpts from this talk in The Night is a Jungle. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Claire, for reading for us. We had 78 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.